This is Jim Inkster, and we're joined now by Gene Sperling. He was director of the National Economic Council under both President Obama and President Clinton. He is the author of several books about the economy and our world at large, has been a senior economic advisor on multiple presidential campaigns, and was a consultant on NBC's West Wing for four seasons. He's here to talk about the case for economic dignity. And good morning to you, Gene Sperling.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
When we talk about economic dignity, what do you mean?
Well, what I mean is that I wanted to write a book after my years in the White House that said there's something wrong with our economic debate when people start to think that a GDP number or a productivity metric is the ultimate goal of economics. All of those things are proxies for us improving people's lives. And I wanted to not just criticize that, but say, what should our North Star be for economic policy? And to me, it was a three-part economic dignity, which means, or I should say, that to achieve economic dignity for everyone, it means three things. It means, one, the capacity to care for your family and to be there for them, not just put food on the table, but to be at the table, be at the bedtime story, be at the bedside, that economic deprivation does not deny you your capacity for the most meaningful moments in life, from your birth of your child to the care of your parents in their final days. But two, the question of whether all of us have real first and second chances to reach our potential, our sense of purpose and meaning. And then third, those first two pillars crumble down if you don't have protections to ensure people can work with respect and not domination and humiliation. Because what we've seen throughout history is that often people's desire for dignity and the sense of supporting their family has forced them to be subjected to abuse, excessive hours, sexual harassment, unsafe treatment.
All right. The book gives economic dignity from Gene Sperling, the only person to serve as director of the National Economic Policy, Economic Council under two presidents, Clinton and Obama. His book offers paths to policymakers and citizens, and it is something that is perhaps even more pertinent now than before. And my guess, Gene, is that when you put this together and wrote this book, you were not aware of what was to come, the pandemic that we're facing right now.
That is correct. But, you know, in many ways, no author wants to have a book come out when most bookstores are closed, but in many ways, it's more powerful and poignant now. You know, one of the things I quote in the book is Martin Luther King's speech during the Memphis sanitation worker strike in 1968. And that's where he says all labor has dignity. But the line he says leading up is, someday our nation will realize that the sanitation worker is as essential as the physician to our health and well-being. And I think this is a moment where we are being forced to recognize the value of all work, because many of us are relying for our lives for care workers and farm workers and delivery workers and nursing assistants and home health aides. And it's forcing us to ask ourselves, if they're putting their lives on the line for us, shouldn't they have a level of economic dignity? You know, is it right that a home health aide who is in a COVID unit, that half of them couldn't take a day of paid sick leave for their own children, or that less than 1 in 10 people who care for people's children could take a week off if they had a birth of their own child? These are powerful inconsistencies that we're being forced to reckon with now in ways that maybe we've allowed ourselves to ignore for too long.
Over time, has the pendulum swung from a country in which labor unions had excessive power to now in which almost all the power is in the hands of corporate America?
I think we have seen a rise in corporate power at the expense of worker power. I think you've seen it in the diminishment of unions, the ability of employers to I think unfairly combat collective bargaining exercises. You've seen it in the deterioration of the minimum wage at the national level. And I think the process of globalization has and increased economic concentration have all tended to diminish worker power. And so I think you both need to, you know, find ways to ensure that every worker has some ability to have a collective voice to band together. But you also need basic protections, a real minimum wage, moving to $15 as soon as we can, basic health care, basic universal paid sick leave. These are not radical ideas. These are things that many of us have at work. And we just have to ask ourselves, why shouldn't this be a basic guarantee? Why should it be seen as a luxury or a radical idea that everyone who works hard, who does their part, who puts in their hours, can't raise their family with dignity, work with dignity, and retire with dignity?
But we have a situation, particularly in the region where we are located, our show, in the South, where people who are working people largely are supportive, if they're white, for the President of the United States, who is not in favor of an increased minimum wage, and often vote in ways that, when it comes to their own personal best interests, it would seemingly be out of sync. But nonetheless, they're supportive of candidates who do not espouse strong beliefs for the so-called working man and woman.
Well, you know, I think that that's one of the reasons why I've tried to say, let's look at the end goal we want. Because I think people often get caught in the politics. Is this a Democrat idea? Is this a Republican idea? I think when we ask people, what is that basic compact? What should a person be able to be guaranteed of if they're doing their part, if they're working? I think that you often bring people together more. Take, for example, protections for pre-existing conditions. I think at first that was looked at as an Obamacare issue. But as people understood, they said, hold it. Should anybody who has a child with a disability or a spouse with a heart condition, should they be able to change jobs without a health insurance company jacking up their prices and or discriminating against them? People said, well, yeah, that's just basic fairness. So I think part of the goal of having an economic dignity goal is let's talk about how each of us should be treated, and then we can come together and figure out the best solutions.
Gene Sperling, you worked for two presidents who both were reelected and are remembered as good stewards of the economy. But when it comes to this particular passion of yours, how are they alike or different, Presidents Clinton and Obama?
Well, I think that the issue both of them faced was trying to pursue this type of agenda in, you know, divided government. And so I think they had big visions, but they had to, you know, move forward, you know, and perhaps not be able to get everything done. But what I admired is they dug in and they accomplished what they could. President Clinton got universal health care for children. He increased the earned income tax credit so that some people now get $7,000 more a year. Makes a huge difference in their life. President Obama didn't get full universal health care, but he got the Affordable Care Act. But I also think you have to learn as time goes by. The Clinton administration was at a time when the economy was doing well. It was before globalization. I think we've learned a lot since then about the need to be concerned with economic concentration and worker power. I think that it was later in the Obama years that you started to see some of the worrisome abuses from big tech that could perhaps denigrate competition and small businesses that are necessary for an economic dignity agenda. So I admire what they did. They achieved real things. They faced a very political and divided government. But I also think that you have to evolve and you have to look at the information you see. And, you know, for example, one thing we've seen is that, you know, with trade and globalization, we let some communities just get hurt so badly. We have so few tools to help a community, help dislocated workers, that even though both President Obama and President Clinton supported doing more for those factory types of closing, I have to say that if we can't do better as a country, then maybe we have to have less globalization, less openness.
Gene Sperling, the book is Economic Dignity. He was the director of the National Economic Council under both President Obama and President Clinton, and the book is a promotion of dignity, saying it should be the singular goal of America's economic future. Congratulations on your work, and an honor to talk with you, Gene.